That idea of people having a voice, the idea of people being radically authentic, the idea of people putting themselves out there in their authenticity, I'm very passionate about it because I see very few people having the courage to do that. And we're seeing even now more and more, there's groupthink, there's group act, which when we see that among kids or teenagers, it's fine, it's okay. But when we as adults all have to look a certain way, sound a certain way, say a certain the same things, that to me becomes really scary. So Brand of a Leader is a response to that, is empowering people to speak about things that they want to speak about authentically and be authentically themselves and how they present themselves to the world too.
Welcome, fellow entrepreneurs and goal getters, to Entrepreneurial Elevation, Unleashing Greatness Within, with myself, your host, Kelly Beveridge, and my special guest today, thrilled to have her here, Marina Bishavina. She is amazing. She is the co-founder of a brand of a leader. And it's a seven-figure personal branding agency that works with Gen X founders, which I'm really curious to pick her brain and learn about, and C-suite leaders across 12 different countries. She's a global speaker. She is LinkedIn top voice. She's a thought leader in personal branding and executive visibility. She's originally from the Ukraine, and she resides currently in Montreal, Canada. She's got two beautiful kiddos. And I'm just really looking forward to learning from her today. I already love her and her energy. And we've been collaborating behind the scenes without having met each other yet. So just really grateful to have her on the episode today. So Marina, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Kelly, and that beautiful introduction. Really appreciated it.
Absolutely. And so everybody who's listening, we're going to be talking today about entrepreneurship, immigrant resilience, because I know you have a very powerful story. Thought leadership, personal branding. And so a lot of times we'll just have one message. Today, I think we're going to intertwine a few just because Marina's created great success for herself and there's going to be a lot of value there. And so Marina, I'm really curious, maybe we can start with your story. And you know, you're a successful co-founder now, yet I know it didn't start off that way. So maybe you can take us back to the early days and share a little bit about your story of resilience. I'm really curious to learn.
Which one of many? I think the entrepreneurial journey, of course, is rooted in a lot of resilience, and so is the entrepreneurial journey and so many different ups and downs. We often see the highlight reel of each other's careers and we see the success and the outcome and not necessarily the grind behind the scenes. I co-founded Brand of a Leader during the pandemic, and that was really hard because while the economy was up in flux, my co-founder and I, we had to collaborate virtually. It's really hard to create that energy and excitement and enthusiasm when the world is holding its breath and the future is so unpredictable. So that required a lot of imagination and internal resilience, because usually as an entrepreneur, you tap into those external resources and you meet with people and you go to events, right? And your energy gets elevated. But when you're sitting in, we were all imprisoned at the time, and trying to create that energy yourself, it definitely requires a lot of resilience. So those were the beginning days and year of Brand of a Leader's story.
Yeah. You know what? That's so true. And I love, one of my mentors used to say when COVID was happening, and because it was so easy to look at what wasn't working during that time, that it, when it comes to the economy, it's such a great opportunity to create something. And so I think that that's really cool that that's when you chose to create something, yet it doesn't mean it was easy, right? It took a lot of inner resilience like you shared. And so I'm curious because, you know, you started that business and then that's a pretty short time for you to grow it to seven figures.
Your coach was absolutely right, because the pandemic was so hard on so many levels. I think we're still, all of us, recovering from the collective trauma, which maybe parts of it we don't even acknowledge. But it was a great time to start certain businesses, and a personal branding agency for leaders and thought leaders, it was definitely the right timing, because the work that we do is rooted in introspection and reinvention. And that's the time of introspection and reinvention. That was the time for most of us, right? We're sitting at home and we're thinking, am I fulfilled with what I'm doing? Would I be more fulfilled if I did something else? What is the impact that I'm making in the world? Am I making a difference in the world? What if my voice could make a difference? And so all those people that were going through introspection and self-reflection and maybe reinvention, So many started coming to us before Brand of a Leader officially became Brand of a Leader. People started coming to me and saying, because I, for years, had been putting myself out there and became a speaker and doing all those things. And so many people started coming to me saying, would you help me do what you did? Because now I'm pivoting, I'm reinventing myself, or I want to make a bigger impact. And so your coach was right that the pandemic, we blame it for many things, and the economy was one of them, but it did give birth to many businesses for which the timing was right because of the pandemic. And Brand of a Leader, that's one of those success stories.
That's amazing. What a blessing, right? It became an incubation for many great things. And I'm curious as you're speaking, because one of my questions, and I think is you saw a gap in the marketplace during that time, which was really smart, and you started to take advantage of it. And so why did you choose, though, Gen X and C-suite? Like, how did you land on that niche? Because I'm a Gen Xer too, right? So, and just maybe in a way where you can weave in some learning lessons for those who are attempting to find out where the gap is in the market for them to start their business.
Sure. So my business really is one of those, and I hesitate to give that advice because it's often so hard to find what is our zone of genius, our passion, our purpose, that ikigai, right? Where it's passion and purpose, but meet ability to make money. Because so many people say, do what you're passionate about and then money is going to come. But it's not that simple, right? Some people are, I don't know, passionate about playing video games all day long. Some do monetize it, but doesn't mean that everyone can. So that advice, I want to be careful with it. Yet for me, the business was born from, yes, the gap I saw in the market, but it more so was something that I was so passionate about. That idea of people having a voice, the idea of people being radically authentic, the idea of people putting themselves out there in their authenticity. I'm very passionate about it because I see very few people having the courage to do that. And we're seeing even now more and more, there's group think, there's group act, which when we see that among kids or teenagers, it's fine, it's okay. But when we as adults all have to look a certain way, sound a certain way, say the same things, that to me becomes really scary. So Brand of a Leader is a response to that, is empowering people to speak about things that they want to speak about authentically and be authentically themselves and how they present themselves to the world too. Why Gen X? And it's great that you asked this question, Kelly, because you know what's interesting is most people, most Gen Xers don't realize that they're Gen Xers. And with reason, the nickname for Gen Xers is the forgotten generation, right? Because so much is talked about for baby boomers. Obviously, millennials have been talked to death, and now we're focused on Gen Z, right? Nobody talks about Gen Xers. So we have so many. It was a marketing risk that we took because we have so many people coming to us saying, I know you work with Gen Xers. I am not Gen X, but I still wanted to reach out. And I'd be looking at the person and be like, I think you're Gen X. I don't want to assume anyone's age, but I think you are. So for people listening, if they're not sure, Gen Xers are 45 years plus. And why we chose Gen Xers is for a couple of reasons. Number one, they're really not comfortable with the idea of putting themselves out there. I'm generalizing. I'm not saying everyone's not comfortable, but it's a generation that wasn't born with a cell phone in their hands. And this culture that millennials got part of, and of course, Gen Z, that culture of sharing and oversharing. It's more of a private generation. That idea of putting themselves out there, they realize that this is a must these days. This is part of a modern leader's toolkit. This is part of an entrepreneur's toolkit. We can't avoid it anymore, pretend that it's not here, but they're not comfortable with it. If they could avoid it, they would. And so there we become really valuable partners to them in helping them package their story, their authentic story. We don't artificially create anything, but we help package their real story, their true story, their authentic self in a way that gives them confidence to put themselves out there. We also help create a sandbox of things that they do share and things that they don't share so that they can see that we can still be very private in ways that we choose to be, not looking to be Instagram influencers, but we still need to develop those messaging points that are business related, but also humanize it. So there is that personal element too. So we chose Gen Xers because they had been forgotten and because we become real partners. We hold their hands and we slowly nudge them towards the spotlight that they would prefer to avoid.
Oh my gosh, I love everything you're sharing. And obviously I can relate because I'm a Gen Xer and I work with a lot of women entrepreneurs. And one of the biggest fears is the courage to share who they are and to start to speak that into existence and to not have self-judgment with it. And, you know, at the end of the day, I know what you're great at is helping people with their personal brand. And I tell people your personal brand is you. It's not the thing you're selling. And that's a hard thing to wrap people's minds around because it means being vulnerable and sharing of self. And I'm really curious your take on that. You share that you take their hand and walk them through. What are some things that you would do to support somebody who sees the value in that? They understand in their business it's going to help them scale and grow to start being visible, yet they have such big fear and they're not yet in that space to be courageous about it. So where do you start with people?
That's most of our clients, by the way. Yeah. And we have so many people come to us and they think that they're the only ones that have this hesitation. And it becomes a big relief to them when I say, no, this is most of our clients, because otherwise we wouldn't have a business, because we are here to support and help with that process. One thing, I have to circle back on something you said, Kelly, because it's really powerful. You said you always tell people that a personal brand is about them and not what they sell. And I'm so grateful that you said that, because people think it's the opposite, and that myth needs to be dispelled. I do have the privilege and the honor of speaking to audiences across the globe, and I give a lot of information during my talks, but I always say, if there's only one thing you remember, well, hopefully you'll remember all kinds of things, but if you only remember one, it is that the personal brand is an expression of who you are and not what you do. Because what you do changes. We all pivot, right? You've pivoted, I've pivoted. And if a personal brand is an expression in a niche way of what you do, rather than just one of your talking points, then what if you pivot, you don't have a personal brand anymore? And personal brand needs to be an expression of who you are. And so that leads to me answering the question that you asked after. You said, how do you support and help someone who is not ready to put themselves out there? What are the ways to support them? And so what we do with clients before we begin putting them out there and booking them as guests on podcasts, helping them create content for LinkedIn, helping them write articles, we develop their brand identity. And it's a process of discovery. We don't go and do market research and then say, here's the gap in the market, and then these are going to be your talking points. That's very valuable to do for the business, but not for a human being. For a human being, branding a human being, it needs to be an inside-out process rooted in authenticity and who they are. So first, we need to understand who they are. We take them through the process of introspection, 3 deep dive interviews, 75 minutes each, and then we create the narrative for them, which is completely... Essentially, we just give it awards. What they usually say is, oh my God, this was all in my head already, but you gave it awards. And that's what we do. We give it awards and we give it clarity. So we give them an angle that they can own for their personal brand as a thought leader. We give them messaging points. We write their brand story, which is a modern version of a bio. We do linguistic analysis of how they speak. And so we pull out sound bites from verbatim what they said. They just didn't realize they said all this smart and punchy stuff, but we pull it out from transcripts and we put it on the slide so they can see it. And it's such a beautiful process, Kelly, because when I present the results of the brand identity work to clients, time and time and time and time again, they get choked up. And they look at it and they say, on variations of the wording might change, but something along the lines of, oh my God, that's me, huh? And some will say, I'm so badass. And the person's a mega crazy successful. And you're like, wow, it took this for you to realize. Yes, you are. And it's the most beautiful moment. And they get choked up. And it's because seeing that essence of themselves that's within them understood and then put into words is a beautiful defining moment for them, A. And then B, that's what gives them the courage and the validation that, oh, I do have something to say. Oh, it will be valuable if this is what I start putting out there. Oh, yes, if I talk about this is my angle, this is unique, this is interesting, doesn't mean it's an overnight transformation. And then they say, okay, now let's blast me everywhere. No, but then that gives them enough courage, if you will, to take that first step into the spotlight.
Well, I love it. And I think too, like when you're sharing, what comes to mind for me too is like, what a great way to build someone's belief in themselves. And then the more they share it, the more they speak their message, the more they own it, the more I like to say how beliefs are created is by what we tell ourselves over and over again. And so just stepping into that powerful brand identity of this is who you are. And then they speak that message into existence time and time again. that's only going to impact themselves and their business growth, right? And their scalability and what they're wanting to do.
That's the goal. The goal is that it supports, if they're an executive, it supports their career management. If most of the people who work with are founders or entrepreneurs, and it supports the growth of the business. This is just the key component of marketing these days, right? And so it supports them hugely with that. And yes, that is the goal. And it's important to say that because, again, we don't work with people who are looking to be famous or sell something on Instagram, monetize their name. Absolutely nothing against that. But that's just not what we do. So it's business owners or C-level executives who are looking to have direct benefits in, and in addition to that, inspire and impact and have their voice make a difference.
Yeah. I'm curious your thoughts on this. And I know you're going to be for it, yet how important is having a personal brand nowadays in today's world to grow and scale your business?
It's become crucial, and it's become crucial for several reasons. So especially if you're in services, especially if you're in B2B, maybe a little bit less, although we're seeing it grow in importance if you're running a B2C consumer goods products business. B2B and services, it's crucial, and I'll tell you why. So number one, studies show that when the CEO of the organization is active, has an active presence on social media and out there, it increases the trust that people have in the organization. Employees expect their leadership to have a position and to express what it is. We're seeing that it has direct impact on sales. We're already seeing that. What we're starting to see is this fundamental shift in marketing that's happening right now in search, in how businesses are found. This is crucially important, specifically for service businesses. So many of us rely on Google search for our business to be found. Now there's the shift to where businesses are found in GPT. They're found in Perplexity. We're seeing that more and more with prospects that come to us as a brand of a leader. And what directly impacts the AEO search is thought leadership. It's originality, uniqueness of content and insights. That is generated by a human being. That is not something that can be outsourced to AI to mass produce. It's podcast interviews like you are hosting, like I'm participating as a guest. That is gold that shows to the engines that there's thought leadership here. This person is interviewing, this person has been interviewed. That signals that we have expertise in our industries and that supports the search. So for founders, for entrepreneurs of service businesses, huge. For solopreneurs, no-brainer, because it's the cheapest form of marketing, because ads are very expensive, getting more so, not easily effective. This is effective. Another way where this helps tremendously when a founder has visibility. We know that our best clients, really, regardless of the business, especially in services and B2B space, best clients, best prospects come through referrals. Those are the best ones. Well, hope for referrals because it's already almost sold. Typically, the person is in alignment. This is gold. How do we generate referrals? We have to constantly stay top of mind for people in our network. How do we stay top of mind for people in our network? It's very hard, right? Especially if it's a wide network. You're constantly going to be emailing people, asking for referrals. Feels awkward, often feels cheesy. If you have all these people either connected to you on LinkedIn, or perhaps you have a newsletter, or perhaps, you know, distribute the podcast, and you're consistent with whatever it is that you're doing, that form of content, you're constantly popping up either in these people's inboxes that they signed up for your newsletter or at the top of LinkedIn feed. So with that content, then you're putting, it wouldn't be the same with a business because who follows the business page? Nobody, unless they're a client or an employee, right? Or you have to put ad dollars behind it. And even then, you're scrolling on LinkedIn, you see a business page, you're like scrolling faster, right? But if someone's scrolling and they see your face there, boom, they're going to pause. Even if they didn't read what you wrote, even if they didn't watch the clip, you are top of mind. You are top of mind. You are top of mind. And that hopefully will affect referrals as well. So it's becoming a huge competitive advantage.
Oh my gosh, that was such valuable information you just shared. Thank you for sharing that. And my mind is going, and this is why I love my podcast too, is I get to learn from just people who are, like you shared, an expert, right, in their craft and ask questions that I want to know for myself. And so I have a question because, you know, you mentioned thought leadership. Yeah. What does that mean exactly, even for the listener? So can you break down what thought leadership is and the impact of it?
Great question. So it is important that when you start creating any type of content, so let's say LinkedIn, or you're going to write articles, or let's say you're going to guest on podcasts or interview people on your podcast, you want people to start associating you with topics. Mm-hmm. A brand is all about associations, right? What associations are you building in people's minds? You want there to be a topic that's connected to your expertise, that's positioning you as an expert in the field. That will be your thought leadership. And then you want the topic that humanizes you, right? So these days I talk a lot about parenting, for example, right? I don't have a business that's connected to children or parenting in any way whatsoever, but then it's humanizing to people when I talk to them about the struggle of the juggle and trying to juggle it all and dropping a lot of balls and along the way and having wins along the way too. So expertise topic, humanizing topic. That expertise topic, that's your thought leadership. And you want to define it in a way that hopefully gives you something interesting or unique to talk about. Something you bring into the market that's original when you talk about it. So sometimes a client will say, I want to talk about entrepreneurship. That's too wide. Mm-hmm. Entrepreneurship what? The more it can be really clear that if, you know, that either it's a point of view that's unique or a unique angle, something within it that's interesting and not what people have heard all the time. So in my case, it's personal branding, and it's specifically personal branding for business leaders, so for CEOs and Gen Xers, right? So it's really clear. And so over time, I'm hoping that Gen X, thought leadership, personal branding, people will start associating me with it. So it's really important to define what is the topic. Sometimes people will say sales what, or marketing what? All that is very wide, because the goal is that you are sharing something that is unique. That also what fuels AEO for search is uniqueness of insights. That is why the worst thing that someone can do, the worst, is go into an exceptionally valuable tool like GPT or Claude or any of those tools and say, write me an article about tips for salespeople starting out. And it gives you something completely generic. That's the worst thing that you can do, because AI tools recognize what was written by an AI tool, right? Mm-hmm. So you are just completely shooting yourself in the foot. The idea and the goal is to create original content, not something that was spat out by an AI tool for you and for 1,000 other people who put in the same prompt. That is very hard to do. That is where we help clients, because often you sit down, you go, I don't know what to write. What can I write that's interesting and not cliche? That's where people turn to AI tools to do it for them. And that's something we support with, because that content generated by the actual human will become more and more valuable, because that will become more and more unique.
Yeah, isn't that crazy that that's going to become more and more unique, your actual authentic voice?
Yes, but there are so many ways of getting at it. So for example, today you're interviewing me on your podcast, and thank you very much. What I'm going to do with it after is I'm going to pull out the transcript, and I will use an AI tool to help me create an article, but it's everything I said. So it's not going to be some generic standard. Personal branding is a very important tool for in the modern day society. It's going to be exactly what I said. So I can easily write a blog article. Then I can clean up the transcript and I can post the transcript. So already I have two articles, right? And transcript's great because it's an FAQ of sorts. And FAQ content is very important these days, again, because of AEO, which is the answer engine optimization process rather than SEO. So easily, at the very least, I get two articles. Then I can repurpose it into at least three LinkedIn posts, because I'm going to do one post where I'm going to thank you for having me on the show. And then I'm going to do another post saying, here, I have an article. And then I'm going to have another little post, just something that maybe I said that I pulled out of the conversation. Boom, I already have all of that. Then I'm going to use AI to generate a whole bunch of little mini video clips. And then those I can put on other platforms, right? LinkedIn, but also I started using Instagram more. I can post it there. So just from one thing, and it gives us so much. Then you're going to post our interview wherever platforms you distribute it on. That all points to my website. So it supports our visibility and my brand and my company's brand even further. So just from 1 hour, 45 minutes of our conversation, all of that can be, you can do all of that and mention me. I can do all of that and mention you. And it's just an incredible whirlwind of content. So much more powerful than people, again, turning to GPT and saying, write me three articles and five posts, and it's generic. And we all know that it's generic.
Oh my gosh, that's so brilliant. Isn't that brilliant? I love that. And it's so true. And I'm curious, I want to go back to what you were talking about as being a thought leader, because as you were sharing, where my mind went to is, yes, What advice, though, do you have for people who are getting started? And I'll even use myself as an example. I feel like I started a brand new business a year and a half ago. And what I feel like my expertise is, I call myself an alignment coach. It took a while for me to come to an understanding and clarity around what I was going to be a thought leader in. And is that okay? Or do you have guidance for people? Or what do you suggest for entrepreneurs who are maybe in their more of the startup stage? Like, how do we start to figure out what we're going to be the expertise in? And is it okay for it to tweak and change and morph? And is that why having a personal brand so important? Because we get to actually change as we change.
Yes. So yes and no. So let's dissect all of it and I'll give you a very specific answer. So what's important is to have that overarching personal brand angle or point of view or positioning. For me, it's radical authenticity. And my byline, my personal byline, has nothing to do with the business, and stand out, speak up, be radically authentic. That's forever. Business that I create in the future, I'll have to tie it to that so that to people, it's not going to feel that all of a sudden something new is happening. If I keep that as my just main thing, my umbrella, my personal brand, then I can change things under it. Because this main thing, that's the expression of my personal brand. It's not a personal brand in business. Before this, I had a recruitment business. It was the same thing. It was stand out, speak up, be radically authentic in interviews, when you're hiring as an employer position. It was all the same things just tied to my overall point of view. That's why when you figure that one out, that's hard to do. I can tell you how we do it, but that's what we do. That's what we help with the brand of a leader. Once you figure that out, that becomes your umbrella moving forward. So of course your expertise under it can change. It can change as you pivot. It can change as you change an interest. But if your brand is tied to that expertise, then of course you can't really be changing it so much, right? Because then it's confusing to people. Oh, today she's talking about something else. Oh, today she's talking about something else. So that umbrella concept, that umbrella point of view, as an example I gave you, becomes really important. Then underneath, you can keep iterating with your expertise as you continue refining it. Because of course, when we start something new, pivot into a new business, we're not thought leaders or experts from day one. That's for sure. We're developing that expertise and we can, you know, pivot what it is. Same with the humanizing topic. Today, I talk a lot about parenting. But before I didn't, because I didn't feel I had anything to contribute on the topic, aside from my anxieties that I'm not a good parent. Once I realized in retrospect, I did things really well. Now I want to talk about it. Before I used to talk about more about my immigrant journey, for example. But so again, if it's all under that umbrella idea and concept, then you're able to change and you're able to pivot.
Okay, I love that. And you know, so to follow up with that, I like you said, I wrote it down here. You talked about there's the expertise topic, and then there's the humanizing topic. Is that where the authenticity comes in? It's like, we're the expert, but we're also human. Like, what do you mean by that?
Yes, because a lot of people think that the humanizing concept comes from vulnerability, but then vulnerability we define in different ways. So some people feel that they have to be talk about the failures, or they have to cry on camera, or they have to just really break down somewhere. And for some people, that's very natural. And if it's natural, then that's great. But for some people, it's not. Like for me, it's not. I'm a natural just celebrator. Everything's good and everything's great. I had a coach at one point tell me, share your failures more. And I do share when I'm asked, but I can't share. I can't force myself because then it feels like I'm attention seeker. Like nobody asks me. And all of a sudden, I'm like creating this just almost like clickbait post or article. Doesn't feel authentic, then it doesn't feel authentic. Don't do it. So the way to create that human connection is by sharing something to show that we're not corporate robots, that we are passionate about something else or something else is going on or just any topic, because it can be anything. For some people, it can be community service that they do. For some people as me, parenting could be anything. We do need to find a way to tie it to the main concept. So it doesn't feel like here you're talking about coaching and here you're talking about how you run, let's say, marathons. And then, okay, what's the connection? It's important to find a connector. But other than that, yes, it can be anything. And the goal is to show that we're human. Same is important in how we create thought leadership content too, though. When we create that post, because especially when we're first starting out as an entrepreneur or we're first starting out in a leadership role, we want to be professional. And so when that desire to be professional often forces us to create a piece of content, be it a LinkedIn post or an article, that sounds too contrived, corporate, and devoid of personality. And AI is very good at that, either creating something devoid of personality or too much personality. And you're like, wow. And so I always tell my team, if you write a post on LinkedIn and you're for a client and you read it, If the client can copy and paste it onto their business page, it's wrong. It needs to sound like it was written by a human, even though this is going to be more professional and more value-driven. So even there, the humanizing piece has to show. The humanizing piece also shows in the imagery that we use. You know, if we're thinking of a platform like LinkedIn, it's not casual like some of the other platforms. So it's not going to be like a complete selfie we're going to post. But it's not overly, again, contrived and overly produced imagery. Doesn't work so well. If it's a screenshot, let's say, of you right now doing this interview, you look great. The setting is professional. It's excellent. That kind of an image on their post would do much better than some graphic you could be working for 3 days on. You think there's so much value in it and people scroll by because it feels too corporate and not human. So those human elements, humanizing elements, they can come out in different parts of how we put ourselves out there. But most certainly, of course, in that content, that's not business, but that's just us showing who we are a little bit.
Yeah, I love that. And I know I relate to that too. And, you know, I'm curious, you have done such a phenomenal job with your own business success and you've grown your business to over 7 figures. And I know a lot of my audience, they're in the build right now of their business. You've shared so much good information, Marina, today. Like, thank you. How do we take what you're sharing? And maybe if you can give us, and I know this is a bit of a general question, yet 3 or 4 practical things we can do to start scaling. If we want to start scaling and go from, you know, 6 figures to multiple 6 figures towards the million, because most of my audience, I know that's their goal, is a 7-figure business, yet they might be stuck or just there. So what tips and guidance do you have to actually start scaling?
Sure, I have many, but I'll do 3. Number 1, get an assistant. And that's a hard one because when you're first starting out, every dollar counts. And we also have this propensity, and even more so as women. I don't like saying this, even more so as women, but there are sometimes when it applies, when we think, but I can do it. Why would I spend money on it? I can do it, right? I can clean, I can cook, I can follow up on emails, I can do everything. Why would I pay for it? But I remember being at a presentation, listening to a presentation, and the presenter said, this was my early days of just starting my entrepreneurial journey. And he said, if you don't have an assistant, you are the assistant. Oh. And it just stuck with me. And I've always had an assistant since. It's a game changer because a great assistant who thrives at doing things that drain your energy, but thrives at it, will be excited to do it, will free up the time that you need to scale the business because there's only that many hours in the day. Number 1. Number 2, structure, processes, and systems for everything. To anyone who's listening to this, who is like me, like really entrepreneur, that advice sucks because the last thing we want to be doing is creating systems and processing, especially when you're 1 person or then 2 people, what systems and processes? But it's a game changer. And now AI does save us a lot of time with that. I hate the word process and systems. It just gives me I'd rather go and create and sell and, you know, think of exciting things, connect with people. But this is a game changer because this is what makes the business grow and scale, number 2. And number 3, to the surprise of nobody, build your thought leadership brand. Especially when you don't have crazy marketing dollars today, with your visibility and your thought leadership, you can start creating industry dominance that is completely free. I can tell you that Brand of a Leader is the number 2 spot for personal branding agency in Google search. We have never paid for SEO, for PPC. We have no technical expertise as far as SEO on the team. We just create a lot of thought leadership content. And really, when we say we, that is my role within the business. And we just shot up search, and that's also what's helped the business grow as fast as it has, because we don't have a sales team. All of our business has been inbound, including referrals. And number 1 source of new leads is referrals, but number 2 has been Google search, which, again, for a business that never invests in Google search, that is huge. And now it's Google search mixed with GPT. Now we've seen a couple of perplexities, which is mind-blowing. That all comes from thought leadership. So create content, build your thought leadership, make sure that it's unique. That's a lot of time investment, but there are ways of doing it. And if you do have an assistant that can support with a lot of other things, then this can be yours to own and you'll see the business scale and grow.
Oh my gosh, Marina, everything you just said is brilliant. I love that. I actually wrote this down. if you don't have an assistant, you're the assistant. Ouch, that hurts.
And by the way, now there's so much incredible talent that you can get overseas. I have the most amazing assistant that I've ever had, and she's Ukrainian. She lives in Poland. We have a fantastic collaboration. She's phenomenal. So there's also an opportunity to hire people offshore and collaborate with them. And it's funny, Kelly, because everyone asks me, but she's not where you are. So what does she do for you? But what does an assistant need to do for me in person? It's not like I have, like, I don't know, paperwork to file. I don't know, what do I do in person? I go to the dry cleaners, I can do that. But other than that, everything, meetings, appointments, coordinations, travel, just all of those different things, just even looking at things and taking them off my plate works incredible. So for someone starting out, I would say that is a must, and offshoring is a great option, and Ukrainians are amazing. So I highly recommend looking into hiring a Ukrainian assistant.
I love it. And you know, I have to share, I just started having a VA about a year ago. And now I'm in the process of releasing more control, because that's a part of it is entrepreneurs, letting somebody take over my emails and do those things. And I realize, though, that it's going to create the freedom, which is why I want to be an entrepreneur in the first place, is time freedom and to buy back my time. And so I would just encourage any entrepreneur that's out there that this is such valuable advice. And it might not be easy in the beginning, because as entrepreneurs, we like to be in control of what we're building and creating. And it's going to require trusting that, you know, giving up that sense of control of our stuff.
And also creating systems, right? And before I had this assistant, I had created a document that holds all of my just preferences and needs and how to better schedule my time and what to do in this case and that case. I felt a little bit full of myself when I was creating that document. I felt a little bit right in some micro preferences here, but my assistants always felt that was incredibly valuable. And now my current executive assistant, she continues filling that document out and editing. So if ever she's not with me, or she moves to a different role, hopefully she's with me forever. But if ever there is a change, the next person can take over. But even for her, it becomes so easy where she doesn't need to ask and check the same things. And that's on the business side and also personal as well. Those, all those things, there are different things that help. For someone who has a difficult time giving up control of their inbox, I am that person. So what I've started doing is I move emails that I want her to handle from my inbox to hers. So we have a shared one and I move it there. So I haven't released full control, but this is the way I'm able to baby steps. There are lots of baby steps to take.
I love it. And that's the thing, right? Everything you're sharing, it's not meant to do all at once. It's a process, and you just start taking one and moving forward, and it's, you know, and putting these things into place. And, you know, Marina, I know people are listening to this, and you clearly are a thought leader in this space in personal branding. Absolutely. Where can people find you? And what do you have available for those who are listening that might serve their business?
So our website is brandofaleader.com. You see the logo behind me, all over me. And I think the name of the company is memorable too. So brandofaleader.com, we have a blog there with a lot of information. I did create a course, which is very inexpensive for someone who just wants to get more information on the steps and how to build their personal brand. Certainly, there's an array of services that we offer in this space. We're the most transparent personal branding agency that exists. All of our pricing is on our website. So if someone is ever curious to know, it's all there. I am very active on LinkedIn. I am the only person with my unpronounceable last name and the combination of this first name on LinkedIn. So if someone punches it in, Marina Bajanova, I will be there. Always happy to connect with people. Always happy to answer questions. And I share quite regularly as well.
That's awesome. Okay, well, we'll put that information in the show notes so everybody can access you. Yeah, everybody who's listening, go and check out Brand of a Leader. Like I said, we've been in collaboration. You've been so gracious, speaking of referrals, having a lot of the guests that have been on this podcast I want to share with my audience who listens have come from Brand of a Leader. And so you attract phenomenal people based on who you are and what your brand is. And so definitely go and check out Brand of a Leader and Marina. And she has a phenomenal team. And so, okay, Marina, I have just a few last questions to wrap up. I could talk to you all day long because I just want to keep picking your brain yet. We'll do that. We'll have to have an episode too. So I always like to ask these questions at the end. So I'm curious, I know we didn't even really get into your story, and I feel like you really have one. But that, like I said, we'll have to have episode two. Yeah, I'm curious now at this time in your life, what is your definition of success for yourself?
Oh, very interesting. That is a very interesting question because it's multifaceted for me. I definitely am a believer in financial success. And I know it's not a popular thing to say. And again, especially with women, we dance around that thing, and money can't buy happiness. No, it can buy happiness, but it does buy a lot of things that then bring happiness too. So to me, financial success is very important. And I'm exceptionally motivated with Brand of a Leader being a recognizable brand globally when on our way of doing that. And I'm extremely proud of having done that in such a short time, as you said, and with an incredible team on board. So that component is really important to me. Success to me is being a fantastic mother. Success to me is being a woman in business that can confidently say, I did not sacrifice motherhood and I did not sacrifice my career ambitions. I was able to do both, and I can inspire other people to do both. And then finally, it is inspiring and impact people. I'm humbled by all the people that reach out and say that something I shared, something I said, something that I mentioned in a talk was transformational to them or really impacted them on a deep level. To me, those three components together are the true definition of success.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing. And okay, next question. I'm curious because my tagline is called Unleashing Greatness Within. And so what would be three tips you would give the listeners to unleash their inner greatness?
Number one, really knowing who you are and knowing what your radical authentic actually means and being okay with that. And that's so easy to say, and it's very hard to do. And I know that because I did spend many years of my life trying to fit in very badly. So number one is just know who you are and be okay with that. Number two, realize that a lot of things are not, they're a combination of components. There are a lot of people that give advice in absolutes. Quit your job and start a business. It's not realistic for some people. Or you need to just only do, you know, find your passion and just quit everything and just do that. It's not realistic. To me, unleashing greatness comes from those different finding your own puzzle and creating your own pieces of the puzzle. And number three, I think develop your own very strong intuition to be able to make your own decisions. It's incredible how everyone knows what's right for us, especially I reflect on my early days as a mother, and everyone knows what you need. And when our own greatness is unleashed, when we're able to thank you very much and listen to people, still very valuable, but then connect with ourselves and pursue what our own intuition is telling us, I think that is priceless.
I agree. Beautiful information. And I love that. I really agree too, trusting my own intuition, something I'm always working on improving. Okay, last question. What would be a call to action that you would give to the listeners with your message today that they could go out and implement so that they're not just listening to this being like, this is great advice. They actually go and start and do one thing from your message today this week.
So first of all, the one message I would say is believe in yourself and that you do have something to say that's of value. You might need time to refine that message and work on packaging it, but my heart breaks, Kelly, whenever somebody says, well, who wants to listen to me? What do I have to say that's of value? My heart breaks into a billion pieces because nothing great has ever been created with groupthink. So I would say that, first of all, that self-belief is really important. And then on the tangible standpoint of what is the one action that someone can take, it's a hard one because I oscillate between a hard one and an easy one. A hard one is start working on understanding what is your personal brand all about. It's an expression of you. What does that mean? We have a ton of examples on our website to serve as inspiration. That's hard to do. Again, that's why we exist, because it's a whole process and it's complex. But if I'm thinking of something, what else can you do? I would say find someone you know who has a podcast and ask to be a guest on it. It's through those questions that you start seeing where you shine, what are the easy questions for you to answer, where you struggle, because of course you're going to struggle, especially if you haven't done it. But then take that content and do something with it. So if you've started a business or you're starting a business, do something. You know, take your interview, punch it into GPT and say, write me an article and edit it. Write a little post from it. Do something with it. It's easier than go and write a post on LinkedIn because nobody knows what to write. But if you do find someone who can interview you, that can be a great starting point.
Oh my gosh, great advice. Marina, thank you so much for being here today and just for your time and your words of wisdom. And you're not just talking the talk, you're walking the walk. And I love that. I love that so much. You have great energy, great energy, and you share in a way that makes sense. And so just thank you so much for taking the time and having the courage yourself to build your personal brand and then therefore impacting all of us who are listening to you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being such a wonderful interviewer. You're so plugged in and so attentive and you're so present. And that's a rare skill to have as an interviewer. Time just flew because of that. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you. Have an awesome day today.
And you too. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tanya and this is Julie, and we are the founders of Coach Corp, your all-in-one solution for building and scaling a successful coaching business.
At Coach Corp, we provide you with everything you need in one place. You can house your courses, manage memberships, run email campaigns, and create stunning websites and funnels, all with our easy-to-use platform.
And it's not just about the software. We offer built-in coaching and mentorship, helping you implement best practices from certified NLP practitioners and story brand coaches. And that's just scratching the surface of what's inside.
And that's why we're excited to sponsor the Entrepreneurial Elevation podcast with Kelly Beveridge. Kelly is a thought leader who inspires and elevates entrepreneurs worldwide.
We believe in the power of community and continuous learning, and this podcast is a fantastic resource for any coach looking to truly grow their practice.
So join us on this journey. Tune into the Entrepreneurial Elevation podcast for insights and inspiration, and visit Coach Corp to transform your coaching business today.
Coach Corp, your path to coaching success.